Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to All Things WordPress and WooCommerce, a Do the Woo podcast show. Woo! 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 This show is brought to you by Hostinger. Whether you are building a WordPress site or specifically a Woo store, their infrastructure brings your client's site speed, uptime, and security. And OmniSend, the solution for email and SMS marketing, with their CRM solution for WooCommerce shops and your own website. I'll tell you more about our sponsors later in the show, but let's dive into today's episode.
Welcome to Do The Woo. This is an all things WordPress and WooCommerce podcast, and this is the Emerging Tech series. I am your host, Dave Lockie, and for this episode, we've got Thomas Schellberg, who is representing the Applied AI team from Automattic, and therefore one of my colleagues. Hi, Thomas. Thanks for joining us today. How are you doing?
Hi, Dave. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Perfect. So today we wanted to talk a little bit about what Automattic is up to with AI, and you're the best person that I can think of to talk us through that. So I guess maybe first let's just start with you. What's your background? How did you come to be at Automattic? And when did you join the Applied AI team, and why? What were you doing before, and what was so appealing about jumping into this team?
Yeah, thanks. So I've actually been at Automattic for 9 years now. Before then, I was working for Woo Themes, which was before it became WooCommerce and before it was acquired by Automattic. I've been working with Woo for
a long time.
Yeah. One of the original 35 people. Yeah, very scrappy, small company when I joined. But yeah, I was hired as a happiness engineer in 2014. I worked there for 5 years before I started to get really interested in programming. I became essentially the first junior developer at Automattic. In 2020, I became a full-time engineer. I was working on Woo Pay and some other Woo payments and stuff like that, some other projects and extensions. And then after GPT-3 came out, I started to get really interested in at least the LLM side of, you know, machine learning and AI. Before that, I had done some AI courses, some, you know, the more traditional machine learning courses by Andrew Ng, if you know that famous Stanford course. But yeah, I started to run some experiments, started thinking about ways that WooCommerce could utilize this new LLM technology and some of the magic that apparently came out of this black box. And so I started, you know, being quite vocal about my experiments and my ideas, and we eventually created a Woo AI team, sort of an experimental short-term team to see what kind of projects in WooCommerce could utilize AI. And our biggest thing that came out of there was a Woo AI plugin that we ship to about 10,000 of our customers, which it still gets used to this day. And that plugin mainly helped with generating like product descriptions, product titles, categories, and as well as a background removal tool for images. After that, I moved into the Applied AI team, which is sort of more focused on WordPress.com functionality and how we can improve WordPress.com. In the May of this year, I've been at Applied AI.
What a lovely story. So coming from a happiness background and ending up really in the thick of it at the cutting edge of what we're trying to do as a business, must feel like a great ride you've been on.
Yeah, and I think everyone should do some kind of tech support or support in their lifetime. I think it really helps you have a level of empathy for your customers that you can't replicate just by, you know, short term, like using the product. And I think it really, really helps in development.
Yeah, it's almost unlimited in a number of ways that somebody can not understand or misuse or break a piece of technology. I've done a lot of customer support myself over the years. So yeah, strong plus one from me there.
Yeah, you can never fully predict how people will use your products, especially something as flexible as WooCommerce or WordPress. People will find really interesting ways to use the product that you never thought of.
Yeah, I always used to, so my background is kind of agency, freelancing and then agency. And I always used to say there's like a million ways to build a WordPress site, but there's probably only like a handful that are actually the right way or a good way longer term to do it. So I think that remains true to this day, and it's definitely something I'm passionate about in my day-to-day work, is when is it appropriate to be more opinionated about how to build successful sites and stores using automatic suite of products and services? Because obviously there are different kind of tribes or mini ecosystems within the greater space. So if you're building on Elemental, there's a whole bunch of stuff that comes along with that, for example. But Automattic has its own, you know, de facto, we have our own opinions about things. We think if you're going to do e-commerce on WordPress, you should be using WooCommerce. We think you should be using Gutenberg. We think you should be using Jetpack. So trying to get that balance between the flexibility and the customizability, but also the opinion and, I guess, the guardrails that can come along with that in terms of ensuring product compatibility and consistency of user experiences, both front and back end, is I just think it's a really interesting problem to try to solve.
I think it's a really interesting point, and it's very prescient in this moment. We'll get into some of the projects that we're working on, but that is kind of exactly what we're dealing with, is finding the balance between freedom and opinionated sort of patterns or presets or opinions on how a website should look and what an AI should do for you, versus leaving things totally open for customization.
Awesome. Well, that's a nice and natural segue. Why don't you tell us some of the things that you're up to? Maybe some of the things that you've, that have been shipped and are kind of iterating, maybe some of the active projects that you're working on now, and maybe then we can leap into the future a little.
Sure. So I would say we have three major projects. One of them is public, one of them sort of behind the scenes, but kind of public. So the first one I would say is the Jetpack AI assistant. And it's basically just a contextual AI assistant that lives inside of the Gutenberg editor. So it's highly contextual. So if you select a text block, you'll see AI options like translate this text, rewrite this, correct some mistakes, which is really cool. It's sort of built into the editor. It doesn't add an extra, you know, level of abstraction or anything that you need to learn outside of what you're already familiar with. So that's really cool. It's an extra plan inside of Jetpack. And it can also do things like generating images. It helps, you know, making your pages and posts more interesting and appealing, that rather than trying to find like a stock image that may not fit perfectly or one that everyone has. I think it's really good for outlining a post. We can get more into it later, but I think it's really good for helping you not have to get stuck at a blank canvas, because that's usually the hardest part of writing, is just starting from nothing, and having an outline and changing things around really helps.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that there's always the kind of cold start problem of, you know, blank piece of paper, you've got a rough idea, but, you know, how do you add some shape into it quickly and make sure that the whole idea is kind of going to add up to something? Not so true if you're just writing casually, because you can leave things half finished and come back to them. But if you're doing this as a professional marketer, or you're under some kind of pressure to produce content on a regular basis, having a good idea of what the end product might look like is really important to be able to kind of crunch through it. The other thing that I think is really powerful for AI writing and content generally is this idea of not trying to be the creator and the editor at the same time. And I think having an AI editor or an AI assistant can help you concentrate on staying in one particular mode, because, I don't know, certainly for me, I feel like it can, when I'm in the kind of creative mode, I'm just trying to get things out and form this idea and see where it goes, I can often feel myself, like the editorial part of my brain kicking in and thinking, like, oh, that's, you know, that's written badly, or I'm going to need to come back to that, or let's not go down there because it's just going to be too messy. And I've really appreciated just like removing that tension, because I know actually it could be really quite quick and easy to edit this stuff later. I don't need to ask somebody else. I can just ask this machine and it's going to go give me a bunch of feedback. So yeah, I don't know what kind of qualitative and quantitative feedback you could share about, you know, how is Jetpack AI assistant being used? How many people? What are kind of some of the interesting things that you've seen done with it?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think I would have to get back to you for like specifics. I do know we have quite a few users that love it. Feedback is good. I don't have the numbers with me right now, though. I could definitely get those to you, though.
Cool. Yeah. Sorry to put you on the spot there, Ryan.
No worries.
Hard questions, even if we're on the same team, Thomas. Good stuff. All right. So project number one, the in-editor assistant. Project number two?
Yeah. So I would call it Odie. Odie is basically our in-house WordPress.com chat system. And you could think of it as a chatbot platform. So it has access to, and it's trained on all the WordPress.com documentation. That way it can provide accurate answers to common questions that people have from our WordPress.com users. So one of those is named WAPU, and it's available via a chat interface natively within WordPress.com admin area. So if you go to search for help, that's the first thing that pops up. And it's a conversational interface that it's actually doing quite well. So first thing, we make it very clear that it's powered by AI, which we wanted to make it as transparent as possible. And so the main benefit I would say is that WordPress.com users get an initial help super fast, which often will resolve their problem. We have about 30 to 40% of the support volume being handled by this chatbot and very high ratings from our customers. So it's really good at a lot of the repetitive questions that come up in documentation that don't require super creative thinking or troubleshooting, stuff like that. But people need an immediate answer and they appreciate that more so than waiting a few hours or a day for like a creative answer, if that makes sense.
Makes total sense. If you're in a rush to catch the train, then you'll settle for a substandard coffee out of a machine rather than a handcrafted cold brew, a single bean frappuccino or whatever. So yeah, I can definitely understand that. I guess ticket completion rates are pretty impressive.
Yeah, higher than I expected. What's quite cool about it is we have our HEs helping fix the quality of WAPU itself. So our tickets get looked at by our happiness engineers, the ones that are answered by Odie, and we give them ratings. So it gets better based on what our actual HEs and happiness engineers would reply with. So there's a human feedback loop in making it better.
And does that work the other way as well? Do we have Odie marking the homework of our HEs?
I don't think so, no.
Good, that's probably for the best. And the name Odie, in my distant memory, is that a Snoopy reference? Where does the name Odie come from? I seem to remember it being like a cartoon dog of some description.
So technically it's short for Odysseus, but I do think there is an Odie from Garfield, right?
Ah, yeah, Garfield, that's it, yeah. Maybe a little double meaning in there.
Well, hopefully it's a bit smarter than the Odie from Garfield.
Yeah. Yeah. But it sounds like it is. I didn't realize that we were seeing such an impact. That's great. And often, I don't know, my anecdotal experience was that oftentimes it's just people don't know what question to ask. You know, they know what they're trying to achieve and they're finding that, but they don't know what this thing is called or how to phrase a question or what it is. If they did, then they would be back on their way pretty quickly. And I think that's one of the things that LLMs do actually do very well is to crystallize what's sitting underneath whatever particular terminology is being used. And yeah, like once people understand what question it is that they're actually trying to ask, then often a documentation search would get them right to where they need to go. So this is as much as anything just taking a human out of the loop, needing to do that kind of comprehension and rephrasing. Do you think that's fair?
I do. I think there's multiple benefits. So I think what's really good is having this kind of system means that our happiness engineers, the humans, can spend less time answering the very simple and repetitive questions. So they have more time to do some of the more deeper, creative thinking, solving tickets that are quite complicated. When I was a happiness engineer, I sought out an escalated team, a guild, if you will, that worked on the most complicated tickets we had at WooCommerce. And obviously, you can't get done as much when you're working on much more complicated things, but it's much more stimulating and uses your full capacity of your knowledge and your brain. And it's much, much more interesting than, you know, doing like password resets all day. So I think there's a second benefit for happiness engineers and humans who sort of crave like a little bit of complexity, not obviously overwhelming, but some type of complexity and creativity in their job.
Yeah. And I think that's about moving up the value chain and building stronger relationships with our customers as well. I mean, ideally, a lot of those very kind of routine and repetitive queries, even in the absence of AI, could be kind of reduced through different UX or, you know, just building out ever more extensive and differently worded knowledge bases. But yeah, with AI's sort of very good at accelerating that process, I guess. And then, yeah, as you say, it means that instead of answering the same question multiple times, we can work on solving novel challenges together with our customers. And that's what is ultimately going to build value for everyone. And I think that, you know, there's a kind of a call back to that earlier piece around what's configuration versus customization and how do we optimize for people being able to spend their time pushing the boundaries of what's possible to achieve rather than spending a bunch of time and energy and resource and money on just keeping the lights on. And certainly as a kind of agency business, we saw a really clear split between that. And I think it's often, frankly, a reason that merchants churn. And I'm talking about WooCommerce specifically here because there's just like updates are a much more gnarly problem for WooCommerce sites. You know, the code base is so much more complex and the cost of having downtime or broken functionality is more immediately quantifiable. And there's just a lot more in terms of user journeys that have to be tested. So I think the problem of updates goes away. If we're going to like have a magic wand, then all updates would be applied automatically. They would never break anything and it would all just be kind of a seamless process of continuous product improvement from the merchant's perspective. And certainly it seems like that's what we're trying to do with our happiness interactions as well, is move towards those new frontiers of what's possible.
Agreed.
As a builder or an agency managing multiple sites, check out Hostinger.com. Their infrastructure brings your client's site speed, uptime, and security. Also, at your fingertips, you'll find a powerful suite of tools for security and performance, code and content management. Now, add to that the ability to manage your WordPress website through WP CLI for control configuration and plugin updates, enhanced WordPress acceleration powered by Lightspeed Enterprise, control over auto updates, free migrations, and of course, the essential staging sites. Through all of their services and features comes e-commerce optimization for your clients' Woo shops. So when you think about it, overall, everything you need to keep your client sites running smooth can be found with their agency hosting at Hostinger.com. Whether you're a product or a site builder, OmniSend can help you with your customer or client's email and SMS through their CRM solution for WooCommerce. Product builders can bring their plugins and SaaS to a new level for their customers by integrating with OmniSend. And for you developers and agencies, recommending them to your clients for managing their customer relationships is spot on, because it gives them the right tool to build their email and SMS lists, send targeted campaigns, create automation workflows, and track their results all from within their WordPress dashboard. With over 100,000 e-commerce stores already on board, have your clients and your customers get started for free by simply having them search for the OmniSend plugin on WordPress.org.
No, that makes total sense for me. So tell us about Project 3.
So Project 3 is ongoing. It's codenamed Big Sky. This is definitely our most ambitious project. And it's essentially building an AI assistant for developing your first website on WordPress.com. So our target in mind is essentially somebody who wants to build a website. They recognize WordPress and specifically WordPress.com as a great place to do that, particularly their infrastructure, but they don't know how to build a website. And being launched into like looking at a blank page on WordPress.com or really with WordPress at all is really hard. You don't know how to build a website. You don't know what your pages should look like, what kind of content should go there. So this, our idea is, as part of the onboarding process, you get sort of a first page generated, as it is right now. It's going to be multi-page. You get your first sort of like version of the site that looks quite good right away, so that you can then tailor it and make it your own without needing to know anything about web design. And ideally, not ideally, but this should work for even people that have no experience with WordPress. So we're quite excited about it.
Interesting. Okay, so this is essentially teaching people by allowing them to change something that has been set up, and they can see how the blocks, presumably this is using Gutenberg, so they can see that the page is composed of blocks that have settings, that have content put in them. And then if they want to change the order of those blocks or some of the settings or some of the content, it's more of a kind of, oh, I can see that I can just click on this title and remove this word. So they can intuit like how the tools work before they set about the kind of, I guess, the counterintuitive reality that changing something is easier than building it from scratch.
Absolutely. It's very hard to start from scratch. And even if you have some kind of idea what you would want the page to look like, it's, I mean, no matter how long I've been doing web design, it's still very hard to start from scratch. It's much easier to see something similar or something that looks good and to change it and move it around and make it your own. And it speeds up the process of starting massively. And so, yeah, one of the challenges we're working on is not building sort of a replacement for Gutenberg, making sure that we get you an initial design of the page, teach you how to change it and give you tools that can change things for you, sort of using natural language, but also make sure that you aren't just dropped into the deep end and have to figure out Gutenberg all by yourself, or that you've spent time learning an alternative UX and UI, and then now you have to learn Gutenberg. That's a challenge.
And I guess that's a similar, you know, that's, I guess, going back to this sort of same theme that we want people to be focusing on the value add stuff. And certainly, I mean, we did so many client projects and there would just be this sort of, you know, there's the initial phase of excitement and it's creative and client gives a brief and the designers go and do the work and there's a big reveal. And then you get into this quite tense time sometimes where it's like, oh, could we just tweak this? The classic, could we just make this pop a little bit more? And so if that kind of stage of tweaking can be something that we enable the site owner, creators to do themselves, that's got to be a win for morale all around, I think.
And yeah, like I said, what we're really targeting is people that know they want a website, they don't know how to build one, they're likely to fail if they try or become extremely frustrated. We really want people, especially, you know, business owners or someone thinking of starting a business, we want them to focus on their business and the creative aspect of running that business. We don't want to make people learn web design to start a business. So that, I think, is a huge win if you can lower the barrier.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's essential to the future success of websites, frankly, because when you look at the alternative digital channels that, you know, creators and merchants use online, at least nobody has to teach you how to use Instagram or TikTok or social media. It's just, it's intuitive and it goes from the very first basic experience, and it can, obviously there's layers and layers of learning, but once you're up and going, you're engaged and committed to it. And so for me, that's the job for websites as well. We need to find a way to make that same expectation that A, this just works and it's obvious, but also B, this is cheap enough that we can consider it to be free, is another challenge as well, because obviously that's what the social platforms do. They make money in other ways. and a massive part of the cost for people getting up and running with any kind of website is, you know, getting expert advice. And it's also very risky because, like, the business owner working together to do what is essentially an increasingly technical and complex task on the background of this kind of time and finance sensitivity as well. So, yeah, if any of that help, like, A, resonates, and B, helps guide what you're trying to do with Big Sky and how you think about prioritizing things.
One of the things I brought up as a team for, I think, a philosophy that you could have is to sort of think like an agency. I have never actually ran an agency, but
I don't recommend it. It's a tough gig.
I can imagine. To not think so much just from the customer's perspective or from the developer's perspective, but imagine that you're an agency and you've been tasked to help somebody build this website. So thinking about what sort of opinions you should have, how much freedom to give them, you know, like what things you allow them to do. Try not to let them get too distracted by minute details, because the point is to launch your website and start hopefully making money from it.
And there's also, and I think this is relevant to what we're trying to build here as well, which is that as an agency, there's an expectation, and indeed, like, just market forces demand that you find efficiencies. And by that, I mean, what can you reduce the cost and time for every time you do a project? You know, is it having standardized training documentation? Is it having a starter theme? Is it having a selection of curated extensions and plugins that you know all work together? Which page builder are you training the team on? You very quickly run into challenges if you've got a bunch of Gutenberg sites, a bunch of Elementor sites, a bunch of Beaver Builder sites. You know, it just becomes untenable very quickly because developer A leaves or is sick, and developer B doesn't really know how to use Elementor, and they have to solve a particularly gnarly challenge. Then the client's expectation is that you're a business and it's your problem if somebody leaves or gets sick. So I think going back to this thread of when, like, how much opinion is good, it definitely plays into that sort of whole agency scaling and operations thinking as well. So it's not just how do we solve the problem of getting this site delivered profitably, what can we fold into our business processes and operations so that next time we make more profit or de-risk or create a high quality outcome? Because the world of the web is always evolving. You know, there's always a new integration or it's a new regulation around accessibility. There's always pressure to cram more into a project. And at the same time, because of this expectation that software is free, people don't like paying, frankly.
Yeah. And even, or at least they would rather spend their money on the brick and mortar part of their business, or like the real guts of their business, and see the website often as a means to an end rather than the central aspect of their business.
Yeah, they want to spend their money where they can see a direct and preferably short-term return rather than sort of, well, let's just sink 10 or 20 grand into this website project and hope that it leads to growth over the next 3 years. I think we're definitely in that kind of economic climate that people are increasingly measured about how they want to deploy their capital for visible returns.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting way to think about it, that you could get somebody online quickly, cheaply, and grow with them. Because when they build a website, they're not taking payments yet. Then they'll look into ways to take payments. And then you have a relationship there. Maybe they want to start adding subscribers or members to their website. You can create a relationship there. If they start having inventory that they need to ship out, you have all kinds of ways to integrate there. And you can sort of, like, by a module pattern, you know, increasingly make the site more complex as it needs to become more complex. And we're definitely thinking about that on WordPress.com with using WooCommerce and all the extensions that come with it.
So Automattic uses a system called P2. It's a WordPress blogging thing for kind of our external audience. I'm pretty vocal on P2 about my thoughts of, you know, that we need to think differently about, you know, the sort of the current paradigm of hosting. Charging to keep a website online, it just doesn't feel like the most elegant way to align incentives with our customers a lot of the time. And this is obviously that, you know, these are hard problems to solve and there's no kind of immediate changes that I know of that are anything to do with this. I just wanted to kind of raise it as an open discussion point that I think, you know, AI does fundamentally change the costs, time, risks associated with standing up websites. And I think that probably has a knock-on impact for the whole ecosystem. Agencies will need to pivot or at least respond to, you know, what 3 years ago they may have charged. It might have been kind of a bread and butter service for them. Maybe that's being disrupted now by things like AI chatbots or content generators or whatever. I wonder whether it also starts happening with hosting as well, as we can sort of banish some of the more prosaic, like historic day-to-day problems of like just keeping the website on and keeping the lights on and keeping it up and making it performant, all that kind of stuff. We can think about more interesting ways to truly partner with our customers so that we're sharing in their success and we're supporting their growth as they need to grow. You know, for me, it makes a ton of sense that we would want to help a merchant using Woo get to $1 million of sales in a year by making sure they've got access to all of the extensions and tools they need to focus on driving their business rather than nickel and diming them for, you know, a $50 plugin here. And maybe they end up at like $900,000 for the year, because ultimately the more that merchant is succeeding, the more opportunity there is for us to share in that value that we happen to create. So anyway, yeah, definitely there's nothing beyond my personal interest and hopefully relevance to this conversation here. But I thought I'd mention it because it does seem important to look at the downstream impact of some of these changes too.
Well, I think I didn't mention it yet, but I do think there is a project that is related to that. WooCommerce Analytics is currently being rebuilt. And a lot of it is sort of modernizing it and making it just better, basically. But there is a slice of that which adds insights to analytics. So I've done quite a bit of research on analytics software when I was first looking at this project. And the complexity of analytics software for WooCommerce and e-commerce is just overwhelming. You could dial down to see every single imaginable metric in your store. You know, you could automate things based on metrics. But the thing that I was missing the most is to know what to do with those metrics. It didn't tell me if that metric was really important, how it was compared to other people in my industry. I had no idea what to do with those metrics. And I think that will be really powerful to have with WooCommerce is sort of like a drip feed system where every once in a while you get a message that says, hey, this product is, you know, the reviews are getting worse. Maybe you need to look at the quality of the product or the images need to be improved. It's being refunded quite a bit higher than an industry standard. There's any number of things you could think of that AI and an LLM would be able to help with. And I'm really looking forward to seeing that.
It's great that you're thinking about that too. I mean, I know a lot of people in Woo are, and I guess I think about it as a generalized problem, which is, you know, best next action. And sometimes that's going to be, oh, you know, you could add a new extension, you know, you could add BNPL or you could enable a new feature that might unlock, I don't know, availability of like access to your funds sooner. Or it could be that, yeah, there's a new regulation that is relevant and your site has a couple of accessibility fixes that it needs on the front end. Or it could be that, you know, your growth isn't hitting benchmark or the merchant's own goals and why not try this email campaign or this social campaign or, you know, as you said, like, you know, just try some new product images, whatever it is. There's really an infinite number of things, even now, that an e-commerce merchant could possibly do when they log into their Woo store. So yeah, taking those insights and distilling them down. I mean, that should be something that Automattic is world-class at. You know, we do have very clear and strong limits to what data we can access, but we also probably have as much data as anyone else, simply because of the market penetration of things like Jetpack and our own hosting products and everything else. So yeah, I'm stoked for that sort of personalized e-commerce mentor almost experience.
And I think you touched on it, and it was one of the, I remember it was one of the sentences I wrote, which when I was looking at this project was, what is the next most important or impactful thing I can do to improve my site? Like just one thing maybe that I could do every single day, rather than getting a list of 100 things that I should do and being overwhelmed. Just one thing every day to slowly improve my store and my site. I really like that idea.
And so I guess I'm really interested in this sort of forward-looking, what could the future hold stuff. I also don't want to conflate that with the existing projects and the existing viewer thing. So we've covered Jetpack AI, we've covered OD, we've covered Big Sky. So that's respectively in-editor content assistance, a chatbot support happiness tool, and a website building AI. Do any of those existing projects have ambitions start? And the WooCommerce Analytics stuff, is the WooCommerce Analytics kind of sitting under one of these three projects? Is it separate? Is there ambition for it to become part of one of these projects? Or are they kind of just totally separate for now?
Yeah, it's its own project. So part of it is modernizing the analytics experience. And another part of it is also that analytics queries can be quite resource intensive. So you don't want to slow down your web server making these kinds of queries. So part of that is moving a lot of this data crunching off of the website itself. And that's where we can leverage Automattic's powerful infrastructure and data to do a lot of that number crunching.
Sure. Okay, so if you're, and I guess let's split this question. So if you were either a merchant using Woo or builders building with Woo, like what are some of the things that you might want to be thinking about as these tools come online and become more refined? What do you think the implications are for both those stakeholder groups?
Yeah, so I would say I try to think of people like my wife. My wife has a small business. She builds or she makes like children's costumes and accessories.
Oh, cool.
She's not tech interested at all. Like,
okay.
She uses an iPhone basically as her computer. And so I've built her a WooCommerce website. I've added a bunch of stuff to it, helped design it. But she really only wants to work on the site itself. And, you know, luckily she knows somebody that can do this for her. So she saved a lot of money. But I really like the idea of using AI to sort of flatten the power curve, I guess you could say, or the economic curve, in that we can give people like her tools that would normally be way outside of her budget, or only that companies like H&M or something like that would have. And it will keep the artisan dream alive, I guess you could say, because that's another, I wouldn't say it's the entire demographic, but when I think of like a WooCommerce, and you can tell me if you feel the same, I think of artisan people, like the people that are still building their own products, whether that's like coffee shops or building single quirky niche products and stuff like that. That's who I think of when I think of serving WooCommerce customers, people like my wife building very unique things that only they can do, and to give them as many tools as they can for as cheap as they can, as we can, to let them compete with larger brands that can outspend them.
And I guess that's, you know, that's ultimately our mission, to democratize e-commerce. And I'm a kind of pretty vocal proponent for making sure that we understand that those freedoms are based in reality as well as idealism. You know, open source is a powerful idea, but if a merchant can't get up and running with an open source store because it's not as simple or accessible user experience as a proprietary, you know, as a website powered by proprietary code, then that freedom, that democratization, that open source loses its power and it loses its relevance. So I love that that's how you think about WooMerchants. From my, I guess, my like commercial experience, I have a different view. Yes, there are those artisans, but there's also businesses employing hundreds of people, thousands of people who prefer balance of costs and freedoms and flexibility that Woo offers them as well. And I think making sure that we're supporting their needs is also very important, because often, frankly, those are the clients who do pay for the customizations that can be leveraged into custom extensions or themes and white labeled and offered to others. So I think it's really important that Woo continues to be mindful of those merchants so that work can get shared and the artisanal makers can benefit. And open source is a very powerful engine for making sure that works.
Yeah, I think one of the things we definitely have to get better at is, I don't know if you want to call it the customer journey, but understanding what it looks like to go from zero to 1 million or 10 million or 100 million. Like, what does that look like? Where is this merchant at? And how do you keep getting them along in that path? So you can still have the same framework for people like my wife, for somebody that's never started, and for somebody doing 250K a year. Where are they at? How do we get them higher?
Yeah, and some of what I've talked about with the next best action recommendation engine, personalized experience, I think is exactly in line with that, in that e-commerce, it's like a complex system, and sometimes it kind of verges into the chaotic realm. Even if you start with two merchants who look almost exactly the same as an initial profile, their pathways through succeeding with their businesses can end up looking entirely different. I guess Woo needs to, one thing that I'd love to see Woo invest in is supporting merchants through non-linear learning pathways that meet the merchant where they are and help them solve their immediate need, and then guide them through to what seems to be like the next best thing that they can do, but to make those individual learning experiences accretive so that they're actually building up quite a sophisticated base of knowledge and understanding, not just about how to use the software, but how to achieve their business goals. And that, to me, ties quite nicely in with the idea of having a particular extension offers particular functionality, because that's also can be described by a set of learning experiences. You know, what is this plugin designed to do? How do you configure it to do that? What are the implications of choosing radio button A compared to B, etc.? But for that to make sense, I think there has to be more opinionation. There has to be a kind of broader common ground upon which to build, because otherwise, that one of the other kind of key churn or like merchant dissatisfaction experiences are that they can ask an agency almost anything and the answer is going to be it depends. And that, you know, that's fine when this is novel work or it's customization, but it's not okay if it's like, how long does it take to add a max quantity thing to this store? You know, it's a very simple requirement and the answer shouldn't be it depends. It should be, there's this extension, here's what it does, you can install it, off you go. And I hope that AI can help us with that as well, in that it's extremely laborious to go through as much code as there is in the WordPress ecosystem and try and find compatibility and coexistence and accessibility, like all of the different quality criteria that add up to a great merchant experience. Trying to go and reconcile that, even to know what those standards should look like in the first place, let alone then to go out and compare very popular extensions and bring them into compliance with that, is a big job, let alone all of the customization work that an individual agency or freelancer might do. So that's another area that I'd love to see AI have an impact in the Woo ecosystem. I guess a bit of consolidation around common shared practices. That means that we can take a lot of the kind of it dependency-ness out of using Woo.
I think it will help for sure with tying these insights to data and not just saying this is an industry standard because everyone says it is. You can say you're underperforming in this metric compared to your peers, but we think you can improve it doing this. And it's hard to argue with that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, thank you for sharing what Automatic's up to. I've learned stuff today, and I'm sure our listeners have as well. I know that Automatic's going to be proudly represented at WordCamp US. So I think if you want to stop by the Jetpack booth or the Woo booth and have a chat, learn more about these AI projects, as well as everything else that we're up to, you'll find people very pleased to talk to you and answer questions. Are you going to be there yourself, Thomas?
Unfortunately, I will not be. It's on the other side of the world for me. I'm in Germany and with a broken foot. So it's going to be hard to fly.
Oh, dude. Well, best wishes for a swift recovery. You can always reach out to me. I'm dave.lockie, L-O-C-K-I-E, at automatic.com or on all the usual socials. And happy to forward any correspondence on to Thomas as well. Thomas, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, have a good day.